Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for Liberty.me, the social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features classes, discussions, guides, events, publishing, podcasts, and so much more. And Jeffrey Tucker and I are starting a new monthly show at Liberty.me, Eye on the Empire. It's just $4 a month if you use promo code Scott when you sign up. And hey, once you do, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me. All right, you guys, welcome back. Right now, we go to our friend Jeffrey Tucker from Liberty.me. Welcome back to the show, Jeff. How are you? Oh, no.
Hey, it's good.
Internet connection problem, it says.
No. I got you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Yeah. I just switched connections. You know, it's amazing. I was on a bad Wi-Fi connection. Right before I got on, I just quickly switched to another one, and here we are.
So it didn't even just, kick you know, off, huh? It just kind of said,
it's like sort of leaping from one building to the other, mm-hmm. you know, while dangerously risking falling to the ground, you know, and suddenly you grab on just to the ledge and pull yourself up. And that's what just happened. All that just happened just now.
Yeah, and Skype magically kept the call going. I'll give them credit when they deserve it. It does sound better than a phone call for all the technical problems. And that was a technical success right there. That was something they deserve.
That felt good. That felt very, very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and the timing was just exquisite.
Yes, it was right on time, right when I needed you. I actually was the bad timing there. If I hadn't caught myself by seeing the visual warning from Skype and just gone on, it would have been fine.
Man, what did you think when you saw that warning? Did you worry? Did you?
I worried. I thought, oh no, is it me or is it him? Who's got the problem with the broadband? But anyway,
there's some sense of uncertainty of the future, and then everything just locked into place. You know, it's just all happened in a split second. Wow, that's very exciting.
How it's supposed to be. Yeah.
I am talking to you from the headquarters of the Foundation for Economic Education today, right now. Yeah, I am there. Yeah, we're just kind of doing a roundup of what's going on around here, and it's been a lot of fun. So I excuse myself from a staff meeting, and I know that nobody ever wants to leave a staff meeting ever.
I imagine they have a lot of books I would like to read there.
Well, it's kind of a high-techy office. I mean, we've sort of been radically digitized.
Yeah.
This is not the old fee mansion, you know. This is not your grandfather's fee anymore. This is a new sort of techy cubicle office. I kind of like it.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
You have an announcement. Make the announcement.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, everybody. Jeff Tucker has an announcement coming up for you. Tell him, Jeff.
Yeah, well, now you're intimidating me. No, the announcement is that you and I are going to do a thing together. And we're going to do it every month without fail. And I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to sit at your feet. And so you can explain to me how the world works. And I'm excited about that.
Well, hopefully there's going to be some vice versa there, too. I think.
I was planning to outsource my brain to you. You object to that?
Well, you know, a little. I'll tell you what we'll do. You say stuff and I'll say stuff and it'll be great. The show is going to be called Eye on the Empire. Now, we hadn't even really had a chance to talk about this yet, but
this is our first time to talk about it.
Yeah, I think I explained this, I guess to Mike, but I don't know if I've even had a chance to tell you why I wanted to name it that, Jeff, is because that was the name of Alan Bock's column at antiwar.com.
Yeah. Wow, this is a great man. Yeah.
He was really great. Were you guys pals? Did you know him?
Yeah, I knew him well.
I mean, I assumed that you guys were buds, you know.
Yeah, we were buds. Yeah.
He's my hero. You know, he's the first guy I interviewed when I started the interview show his column at antiwar.com. And I learned so much from him over the years. And when I lived out in L.A., we got to be friends and hang out a couple times, which I feel very grateful for. But anyway, I thought, well, we should name the show Eye on the Empire.
I think that's a really nice idea. And we're going to invite people to join us and to do questions. And we're going to have fun and we're going to learn a lot of stuff and get a lot of viewers, I think, and a lot of Q&A, a lot of interaction. It's going to be a lot of fun. A live show and on video and just the two of us with anybody who wants to join us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that there's a lot of room here too for, my mind is kind of reeling at what all, you know, I have no idea what all you know, but I know it's a whole hell of a lot. And so you know, hopefully
different areas, right? I mean, like my specialization is in economics and peer-to-peer technology and digital real estate and you know, that sort of thing.
But also libertarian principle and libertarian understanding, yeah. And libertarian history and you know, a lot of that stuff too. So that's certainly where I lack. I always have just outsourced my libertarianism to Anthony Gregory, like whatever he says, I'm pretty much for that.
Oh God, yeah, I know. I more or less feel the same way. In fact, I was just digging through the archives of Fee. Anthony Gregory had this amazing article on slavery, and I just learned so much from just from reading that.
He's so good. Brilliant.
But I'm for all
this anarchism. Yeah. I just I'm obsessed on a narrower kind of path most of the time.
Yeah.
But I love learning about it. I love talking about it. And I think it'll be really great to, you know, have much more libertarianism in, you know, mixed in with my foreign policy stuff. So.
Well, and there's also a kind of an interesting intellectual history to talk about, because you're also interested in the history of American foreign policy, dating back to, say, you know, the post-war period up to the present. And so I have a lot of knowledge about how libertarians were responding during the Cold War to various events. You know, how during the 90s, after the Cold War ended, I personally remember many features of, you know, the first Iraq War and how libertarians were responding to that. And you know, so there's a very interesting sort of political intellectual history to discuss here, too. One thing that you find out more and more in this foreign policy realm, at least from what I can tell, is that it really does. There's so many analogies in the past, right? There's hardly ever a new situation. People always think that it's new, you know? Like, oh my God, here's some foreign dictator we have to deal with. Oh, here's an oppressed people somewhere crying out for American intervention or whatever. But actually, in fact, it's just almost like a repeated situation again and again, you know? But people act as if it's fresh and it's new. And this generation's being uniquely called upon to save the world, you know? But we've always been there before.
Yeah. Well, and you know, even though we're a very small minority, us libertarians, all this terrible crisis is always, as Condoleezza Rice and Rahm Emanuel would say, great opportunity for us. I mean, I couldn't tell you, I'm sure you get this all the time too, but I couldn't tell you how many times I've had people tell me, well, you know, I was a liberal or a leftist or some kind of thing for a long time, but just you libertarians, you antiwar.com types are the ones who, through all of this, have kept your head. And you know, didn't deviate on Libya, didn't screw it up on supporting this or that revolution that, you know, some so-called peace groups decided to get on the bandwagon. And so I think, you know, as we switch from Republicans to Democrats in power, especially in the presidency, and then back again, we are in the position of basically catching everybody who's washing out of these liberal and conservative movements because they just can't stand the hypocrisy and the totalitarianism. And then, but who's standing there? Jeff Tucker's good on everything still after all this time, that kind of thing. And so, you know, it seems like, especially, I mean, my view is using foreign policy, but through economics and through so many other topics, we're the ones who are good on stuff across the board in a way that is good for bringing in new people, that they can pick up on one thing, the IRS here or a war there, and then understand the kind of unified field theory of liberty that we have to present.
Well, everybody else gets distracted by the changing power structures, you know? I mean, so, you know, if we get a Republican president next time around, you can just guarantee that suddenly all the Democrats and the left are going to be, you know, amazing on issues of civil liberties and foreign policy and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, if they get their guy in charge again, suddenly it's going to be like a repeat of the Obama era where it's just, you know, see no evil, just look the other way and let the guy do what he wants. Reverse is true for the Republicans. You know, the Republicans have been severely critical of Obama, but all that will go away if they get their guy in office. So it gets tedious after a while because it's not really about principles. It's really about just backing their guy no matter what. It's nationalism in the end.
Yep. And but then again, you know, I think everything is just I don't know if it's accelerating or maybe I don't know. I didn't live through the Vietnam era or whatever. Maybe the cynicism and the dishonesty and the blatantness of it all was just as bad then. But it seems like it's getting worse and to our advantage in that sense. But now
the
guitars and drums mean
that
we got to take this break, Jeff. But
okay.
Hang
Sounds
tight
good.
Right there. We'll be right back, y'all, with Jeff Tucker right after this. Hey, y'all. Scott here. Ever wanted to help support the show and own silver at the same time? Well, a friend of mine, libertarian activist Arlo Pignatti, has invented the alternative currency with the most promise of them all. QR Silver Commodity Discs. The first ever QR code 1-ounce silver pieces. Just scan the back of one with your phone and get the instant spot price. They're perfect for saving or spending at the market. And anyone who donates $100 or more to the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate gets one. That's scotthorton.org/donate. And if you'd like to learn and order more, send them a message at commoditydiscs.com or check them out on Facebook at /commoditydiscs. And thanks.
Hey guys, welcome back. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, The Scott Horton Show. Well, it's one of my shows, The Scott Horton Show. On the line is Jeffrey Tucker from Liberty.me, and we're talking about our new show. The premiere is tomorrow night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Texas Time. So that'd be 6 o'clock dinner time if you live out in California. And the show is going to be called Eye on the Empire, and it's going to be live at Liberty.me. Now, I'm sorry, hard breaks interrupt there. So before we get back to the show and to Liberty.me and these other things, I think you were going to say something about the explosive growth of libertarianism in this day and age.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, yeah, but just that we seem to be the only ones that keep our heads in the midst of all this partisan nonsense. You know, I'm so tired of this back and forth, handing the reins to this party, handing the reins to that party, and then everybody just sort of shutting up, you know, in a predictable, tedious way. So I hope that, you know, no matter who gets elected next time around, that there'll be at least some of us out there making a consistent case for peace and trade and for globalization of the right sort and not the wrong sort. I think it's an opportunity for us. I agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So
what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about tomorrow night. I want to talk about this, the prospect of shutting out of the Department of Homeland Security, which is all over the news today, too. You know, that's.
Well, you know, we were just talking about, wait, a couple of things from the chat room. First of all, a short anecdote. Jeff's a great guy. I remember meeting him 20 years ago at a Ludwig von Mises event in which a professor of mine was speaking, sitting around the boardroom table as the talk was about to start. And this dandy-looking guy in a seersucker suit sits down next to me and pulls out a pouch of Red Man Chew and offers me some. I couldn't turn Jeff Tucker down. So that's a great memory from Fitzy G in the chat room there. I like that.
That is cute. I'm still doing the Red Man, that's for sure.
There you go. And then so also in the chat room earlier, got in a big argument accidentally about Homeland Security because I was saying I think it's actually within the realm of possibility that this thing is going to be broken up and spun off. And then the answer was, you're crazy. That couldn't possibly be true. And you know it, buddy. And so I'm not sure. I kind of think so. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty intense response. I don't know how anybody can know that.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, you know, this furlough, of course, is laughable. It's just, you know, a small fraction of the employees. And, you know, I guess it's 15%. But we all know that, you know, most of the employees of the Department of Homeland Security don't do anything anyway. So it's not going to make any difference, you know, either direction, plus or minus. So that doesn't matter. But, yeah, I mean, it's possible that it could get broken up into various divisions at some point in the future.
See, my thinking is that the agencies that have been absorbed into this new department would rather be at least back under their old departments, right? Back under the Justice Department or back under Treasury. And because the agencies haven't really ceased to exist except for they redid the immigration control or whatever.
But
I think a lot of the old fiefdoms are still there but just subsumed. So I don't think that Liberty's going to win out here, but I was thinking that possibly ambition could be made to counteract ambition, and all these different pigs might stab each other in the back and throw each other all under the bus and demand to be spun off for their own sake, you know?
Yeah, and whoever's in charge will fob it off with some great increase in efficiency or some nonsense like that. So no matter what happens, it's not going to be good for liberty, but it'll be proclaimed to be wonderful for good government and, you know, a vast improvement in our lives or whatever. You know, I do a lot of flying, Scott, around the country and out of the country, and I've noticed a big change in the TSA over the last several years. You know, not nearly as intense, not nearly as threatening as they used to be, but in a strange way that you get the sense that it's become so routine that not even the employees of the TSA take their jobs seriously anymore. You know, just there to have fun and they're also I think my general sense is the TSA employees are tired of being treated as enemies by passengers. So they're actually just in their own personal interest sort of reaching out to people and changing their ways in a way. I don't know if that's good or bad for security. I just noticed that it's a good example to me how bureaucracies don't really work, you know? They've never really been about security. It's been more about harassing Americans. But I think that the average, you know, worker in the TSA is just sort of fed up with the whole business. You should never forget that bureaucrats themselves face, in a way, the worst cost of bureaucracy there is. Yeah, they have terrible bosses and terrible coworkers and hate the systems that they work in.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you got to figure a lot of those people, they really want to do security work and do their part, they think, to keep dangerous people off of these planes, but they don't have the freedom within their job to even actually do that.
No, they end up just confiscating people's hair gel and, you know, bottles of liquor all the time. And it's pretty boring and pretty terrible and has nothing to do with security. And they know this. I mean, every time I get my hands checked for bomb making materials, like do I have bomb hands? You know, there's an element of absurdity about the entire charade, you know, and look, everybody's just kind of like winking at each other and we're all rolling our eyes and we're like, why are we having to do this? Well, because the machine, you know, selected you randomly to check your hands for bomb making material. And the people who are doing the checking and holding you and all the rest of it, it's all become just a little bit silly. And everybody knows this.
Yeah. And that goes for really the rest of the state too. I think they got a real crisis of legitimacy going on here. But now,
and it starts at the core of the public sector bureaucracy. They're as demoralized as anybody else.
Yeah. Well, and at least there's that. You know, even if we can't get rid of them, be a little grateful and Schadenfreude kind of thing. Not that I can pronounce German words.
Who really wants to work for the post office? You know, who really wants to work for the TSA? And I try to remember that too. You know, when I'm, you know, in the thick of these things, most of these people, this is sort of the best opportunities that they had, you know, thanks to a very truncated and statist regulated market. There aren't the kind of job opportunities that would be in a genuinely free society. A lot of these people are just choosing this line of work because it's the best that they could find.
Right. All right. Now, got a few minutes left. Let's get back to talking about business here. What's liberty.me, Jeff Tucker?
Oh, hey, you know, the last month or so has just been gangbusters. We didn't even open up a year ago. I guess we opened up our doors in May, and we had a kind of first iteration of the site. We finally took it out of beta, you know, a number or something like that. But it's really a very beautiful and engaging social platform, publications network, and content delivery service. We call it the Global Liberty Community because everything on the site is about human liberty in an applied and practical way. We're not just talking about politics, like who you should vote for or whatever, but really the things that you can do in your life to avoid the central plan and live a freer life. And there are so many of them. We have so many guides to that subject that you can download about using Bitcoin, avoiding the cops, moving to freer places away from tyranny. You know, I have a guide on hacking your house and getting rid of government controls and regulations, you know, finding medical care in the age of Obamacare. These are all the kinds of topics we cover. But what unites us as a community is just this love of freedom and a determination to find it, even in an age of despotism.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful community. You can just join it up. You know, we give you 30 days for free. And after that, I think we're doing a $5 per month kind of thing.
Unless they stop by scotthorton.org and click that link, then it's four.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. They should do that.
Or use promo code Scott.
And in the last month, we've signed up so many new members. I mean, you can just see them rolling in. You know, we put it on the front page, who's joining. And every time you join, you get a smattering of people that will just, you know, sort of welcome you and friend you. And it's a way to kind of build a network. And it's not just about building a network. It's about building liberty, as far as I'm concerned. That's why we started the institution in the first place. And things are just working out beautifully. I'm absolutely thrilled with it. But we also offer a lot of live shows, and I'm just really happy that our show is going to be one of the featured shows.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this thing. It's a great opportunity for me, and I hope it'll
Yeah, you will expand your audience, and you know you'll expand ours. I mean, it's a win-win, no matter what.
Yeah, and I meant mention the I had it here right in front of me, but I was looking at the wrong tab. I meant to mention that your column is called "Beautiful Anarchy" there at liberty.me, tucker.liberty.me. If people don't have to be members to read your articles, right?
That's no, no,
publishing
absolutely
site
not.
Is open to everyone.
Yeah, it's open to everybody. Mm-hmm. Hey, did you read my piece about 50 Shades of Grey?
No, I did not.
Oh, man. You got to click on tucker.liberty.me and have a look at my article on 50 Shades. I think you'll really like it.
Okay. I actually don't know anything about that movie other than it's like Skinamax kind of something.
Yeah, I know that's what everybody thinks, but actually, I argue it's an allegory for how the state tries to control our lives.
Oh. Well, that I like naked girls too, so that sounds like a twofer in a movie like that. Well, at least read an article about it. All right. Thank you very much, Jeff. I'll see you tomorrow night at liberty.me.
Thanks so much, my friend. See you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. That's Jeff Tucker. Find him at Amazon and at tucker.liberty.me. In America today, teachers, cops, judges, and other so-called public servants make far more than the average taxpayer. And their pensions? Well, if the people knew, they'd join us. That's where you come in. Taxpayers United of America is embarking on a great new project to train activists how to take on the parasites in your communities. The entire process, from prying loose the facts to disseminating the truth to the people. The first of these great workshops is in Orlando, Saturday, March 7th. It's just $25. For more information, go to taxpayersunited.org/govpensions. This part of the Scott Horton Show is sponsored by Audible.com. And right now, if you go to audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show, you can get your first audiobook for free. Of course, I'm recommending Michael Swanson's book, The War State, The Cold War Origins of the Military-Industrial Complex and the Power Elite. Maybe you've already bought The War State in paperback, but you just can't find the time to read it. Well, now you can listen while you're out marching around. Get the free audiobook of The War State by Michael Swanson, produced by Listen and Think Audio, at audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the monthly journal of the Future Freedom Foundation at fff.org/subscribe. Since 1989, FFF has been pushing an uncompromising moral and economic case for peace, individual liberty, and free markets. Sign up now for The Future Freedom, featuring founder and president Jacob Hornberger, as well as Sheldon Richmond, James Bovard, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and many more. It's just $25 a year for the print edition, $15 per year to read it online. That's fff.org/subscribe. And tell them Scott sent you.